Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 49 of the Afro Excursion Podcast. I am your host, Lionel Harris. On this episode, I am taking you guys over to the Argus Hotel and Cocktail Lounge, which is located at 8 Thurlow Terrace here in Albany. Now, we've been a couple of times, and I just wanted to finally do an episode about our experience of going there. The one time that we had gone, we met the owners, who are named Tara Stratton and Mark Smith. Really nice people. They were really cool, really nice to talk to. And we had gone another time with some friends of ours who had an anniversary dinner slash brunch over there. It was Lydia and Jonathan. So shout out to Lydia and Jonathan. So thank you for inviting us over there that day to what we call the Argus. We don't call it the full name, the hotel and cocktail lounge. We don't say all of that. We just call it the Argus. Now, just a little backdrop. Now, the Argus is considered to be what you would call a boutique hotel. And boutique hotels are a little bit different than the regular traditional hotels like a Holiday Inn and Marriott's and those kind of guys. They're usually smaller, more stylish. They advertise themselves as being more unique. They're usually independently owned. So in the example, again, the owners, Tara and Mark, they own this spot. And it's usually just unique to where they're located. So this is located nearby Washington Park. And Washington Park has a lot of, you know, history built behind it and built into it. This episode is not about the park, so I won't go too deep into that. However, there's a lot of crossover information regarding the Argus and just the whole connection. You know that whole Kevin Bacon thing, 6 degrees of all these various connections, whatever, whatever. But here we go. So the Argus, really, really nice. It's got a historical tinge to it. There's a lot of history related to this whole space. And so I'll give you some tidbits along the way. So Thurlow Terrace, in case you're not familiar, that's over off of Western Avenue. It's downtown off of Western. Think of the downtown SUNY campus, not the Washington Avenue side, but on the Western Avenue side. There's a couple of off streets, and Thurlow Terrace is one of the off streets. It borders the park over there. I've never noticed that street in terms of being on it. Now, I've noticed it because I've driven by the park before and I've seen those buildings as you're driving by. You look over to your right over there and you see those buildings over there or on your left, whichever way you're going. I never really took much notice into that. But then after going to the Argus and I figured I was going to do this episode, there was a lot of information I looked up. And so Thurlow Terrace was named after a politician, big-time politician here in Albany named Thurlow Weed. And he was actually born in Cairo, you know, down a little bit south of us here in Albany, down in Cairo, Cairo-Durham area. He was born down over there and was a real close friend and supporter of one of the governors of New York State by the name of William Seward. Seward was a governor. He was also a New York State senator. He was also Secretary of State under President Lincoln. Remember I did that episode on the Troy Music Hall and I told you about the connections? Put your seatbelt on to hear more about this stuff. So here's a good one for you. Back in 1865, and according to the storyline, the history, that the gentleman, what's his name? Seward was in a really bad carriage accident. Not a car accident, but he was in a really bad carriage accident. And was bedridden for a couple of days. And while he was bedridden, on that particular date of April 14th, he was attacked and stabbed in the throat by a gentleman by the name of Lewis Powell, a.k.a. Lewis Payne. Here's the connection. He was a really good friend of John Wilkes Booth. That same night is the night that John Wilkes Booth assassinated Lincoln. this same night, this guy stabbed Seward in the throat, tried to kill him. Seward and Lincoln, they were friends, they were boys. Lincoln is the one who appointed him to Secretary of State. You see the connection? But it's kind of crazy. But anyway, the Argus itself, really nice in there. A lot of really nice space. They have a nice big bar, a lot of brown wood, a lot of dark colors, really nice older style space. You can tell that it was really well put together when it was built back in the day, that whole building, that whole row, you know, 7, 8, 9, and 10, I believe, were very historic. And again, this is 8 Thurlow. And 7, 8, 9, and 10, 7, 8, 9, I'm sorry, used to be owned by SUNY. And not only that, in that same building, number 8, used to house the Catholic nuns up until, what did it tell me? I think it was 1957. That was a place where the nuns lived, the Catholic nuns. Who knew? I mean, I didn't know that. But again, just a little bit more history about this place and about the whole connection. Now, this Thurlow Weed person. Now, again, this building is on 8 Thurlow Terrace. Thurlow Weed was big into politics. He and Seward were part of the Whig Party. Remember that stuff, the Whigs, and you think about England and all that stuff with them, I don't know, you see Washington and them guys with them, you know, them wigs on their heads. It's not named after that, but, you know, you would see those guys looking all stuffy with them white powdered wigs on their heads, and think of Bridgerton and... Anyway, you know what I mean. But these guys, they were all big into that whole, the Whig Party. And the Whig Party was an offshoot of the Republican Party. They were conservative. So think of the Democrats, then you had the Whig Party, and then you also had the Republican Party. Now, the big-time guys here in Albany, now here's that connection stuff again. There were some big-time names here in Albany that were part of what was called back then the Holy Alliance. Now, I'm telling you guys all this history stuff because it all connects kind of crazily to the Argus. Remember, Thurlow Weed, Thurlow Terrace. So anyway, so part of the Holy Alliance here in Albany were Martin Van Buren, 8th President of the United States. Martin Van Buren, I think, lived in Catskill, because when I grew up in Catskill, there was a restaurant called The President's Wedding, and it was based on the fact that Martin Van Buren lived down there, and I believe his wedding reception was at this building. And I used to work there as a waiter for a hot minute and did dishes and all that. But anyway, I ain't even going to go down that road, man. That was kind of crazy. That's a whole other storyline. But it was Martin Van Buren. He was part of the Holy Alliance. And then there was... this guy named William Marcy, you know, Mount Marcy, you know, the mountain range up north here, named after that guy. So who was William Marcy? William Marcy was also a state senator. He was also a governor of New York State, Secretary of State, and he was a Secretary of War. That guy. Another name, Silas Wright. He was another one of the Holy Alliance, another big-time Albany politician guy, New York State senator. He was the governor. He was a comptroller for the state of New York. John Dix, another guy, Secretary of Treasury, Governor of New York, Major General in the Union Army. Thurlow Weed didn't like these guys. Now, picture again the connection. He didn't like these guys. So instead of him calling them the Holy Alliance, he called those guys, in a facetious, ha-ha, funny kind of a sneak diss, he called them the Albany Regency. Now, definition of a regency. A regency is when a person or a group selected to govern in place of a ruler or monarch. When Martin Van Buren, who, remember, created the Holy Alliance, when he left to go play senator and then become president, the regency, as Weed called those guys, they were still kind of sort of running New York government, New York politics. So that's why he jokingly and seriously called them the Regency, because he felt that when Martin Van Buren left the area and was doing his Washington, D.C. stuff, those guys were locally still trying to run the show. I just thought I'd give you that tidbit, man. It was kind of crazy doing the research on all this stuff. Anyway, going back to the Argus, definitely really nice. We had gone there, I think I indicated, for Lydia and Jonathan's anniversary brunch. Only difference that the Argus does not do, they don't have on-site kitchens. They don't have an on-site kitchen. So whatever type of food events you want to do, especially if it's a bigger scale, you have to have it catered in, which they allow, of course. But that, to me, they probably need to fix that. And I don't know if they're going to. Maybe they just want to keep it the way they have it, where it's still kind of rustic and very historical bent. You know, they want to keep that whole history bent to it. Because as you heard me say, in just the short amount of time that I'm talking about this place, there's a lot of history attached. So let's go back to the Argus itself. Now, the Argus is named after a very popular newspaper that was big here in the area back in the day. And it was founded by a gentleman by the name of Jesse Buell back in 1813. And it was, when it was first started, it was originally printed twice a week. And then in 1824, it became daily and became the Argus and the Daily Gazette. And they were known for supporting those guys. Remember I talked about the Holy Alliance, those kind of guys? You know, sometimes today you'll hear on the news, a newspaper, oh, well, the New York Post is going to get behind Governor Hochul. The New York Post or the New York Times is going to throw their support behind XYZ. This newspaper was very big for that because they basically were the vehicle for the Holy Alliance and the Regency. That's what this paper represented for those guys. It was just a really good paper that they could use to get their message across. And, you know, I talked about the whole Weed and how he felt about certain things. He also was not a big fan of the Freemasonry. He did not like Freemasonry at all. He didn't like what it represented. And he felt that those guys were just, there was something about them he felt they were super secretive. He just didn't like what they represented. So he himself had created the newspaper. We did. And again, that's just going back to the extent of the whole connection between the Argus and Thurlow Terrace and all that stuff. He created a paper called the Albany Evening Journal. And it was one of the most highly circulated newspapers in the area. Almost, I would say almost in the country. Because again, it was an anti-Masonry newspaper. A lot of things back in that day was heavily Freemasonry. And so because he did not like the Freemason concept, he came up with a newspaper to promote a different message. And the reason why he did the newspaper was if he felt that those guys, some of the Masons, were behind the fact that he had also lost a job. He had a job out in Rochester that he lost, got fired from it. And he felt that there was some Masonry influence because of the fact he was so outspoken against the Masons. Who knew? I'm just giving you guys a little backdrop. I like to do my research, as you know. Just thought I'd share that. The Argus Hotel and Cocktail Lounge. Really nice place. They make nice drinks. Price points are really good. If you get a chance to go just for cocktails and drinks, go and check the place out. Located 8 Thurlow Terrace off of Washington, off of Western Avenue here in Albany. Something new, something different. When is when for you? 2024. When is when? That phrasing of mine is not going to change. When is the time to do something new? When is the time to do something different? And until next time, thank you.